days of Noah.
You to testify and tell us today what happened to you based upon the teachings from this series. Tell us a little bit about what happened today and let us know a little bit about it. I want you all to pay attention to this very powerful, very, very powerful testimony.
So today in seventh period, I was hanging with a few girls in my track team, and I asked this one girl, I said, do you have your car today? And she was like, no, I don't have my car, because I was going to invite her to Bible study. And so I said, does this other girl named Morgan, does she have her car? She said, yeah, but she can't. My parents don't allow me to ride with other people they don't know. And I was like, okay, well, I was going to invite you to Bible study, but we're learning about the days of Noah. And I was like, y'all, Jesus is coming back real soon. And this other girl who was sitting next to us, she was like, how do you know that? I said, because there are signs. And so she said, what are the signs? And so I just so happened to have the notes from last week of the different signs of that Jesus is coming back, that we're living in the days of Noah. And they were like, oh, wow. And I told them about the red moon. And I was like, that's not from, you know, scientists. It's because it's a sign from God. And so they were asking me different questions. And I was like, so I said, Jesus is coming back soon. And I said, so if Jesus comes back tomorrow, you know, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Or if you are saved, you're going to go to heaven. And so this one girl was like, oh, I was baptized. And I said, just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Doesn't mean you're saved. So she said, how do you get baptized? I said, you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And I was like, so do you want to accept? They were thinking about it. And I was like, Jesus could come back tomorrow. And they, just as they were about to respond, the bell had rang. So I didn't get a chance to do it, but hopefully tomorrow I can lead all three girls to Christ.
All right, let's give Aaliyah another hand. Amen. So, parents, I want to tell you something. When you think that your child is not learning, your child is learning. But at least you can say that your child knows what the end of times, the signs of the end of times. Your child knows. That's why it's important for children to pay attention in class, in church. Take notes. They're not too young not to take notes. Amen. And so I'll explain this picture on the wall, on the screen in a minute, because that picture is very, very important to prophecy. Amen. That picture is very, very important. So we're talking about the signs of time. So listen, so what we want to do is we want to pray tonight. We're going to pray tonight for those three girls. We're going to pray for them tonight. We're going to come up to the altar, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to intercede for them, and we're going to pray that God will give Aaliyah the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and show. And actually, I gave her the card, and she's going to lead them to Christ, and hopefully they come to Christ. Amen. And that's three souls, amen, that will be secured and go into heaven. Amen. That's the gist of it here, okay? If the signs are clear, what were the signs? Tell me what the first sign was. What was the first sign? Money-hungry preachers, right? So in the last days, the Bible says, and if you go there, I want to reteach this. So I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want somebody to read that for me. And we're going to look at one of the signs is that money-hungry Bible teachers will slur the Christian faith and deceive many, right? And we know that there are many teachers out here. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm not just repeating this teaching just to repeat it. The last two Tuesdays, we didn't get it on tape. The computer messed up each time. So we're hoping that we get a clear recording tonight so that way we can put this on CD and you can listen to it again, okay? Or give it to a friend, amen? I'm going to edit it and you can give it to a friend so they can listen. Now, the reason why we want to know about the end times is because we want to be ready for when Jesus is coming back. The Bible says that he will come back, right? And do you know where he said he would come back? Do you know where in the Bible he says he's coming back? All right. And so that's a good question for you. That's something good for you to research. OK, so I want somebody to read for me 2 Peter 2:1-3. Amen. I want you to look at that for me tonight. And let's read that. Somebody read that for me real quick.
Follow their sensuality, and because of them, the ways of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
All right, see that? And so it says that what? That there'll be many, right? Many false teachers that'll come about, right? All right, and what will happen? Huh? Exactly. Their greed. Let's go there. That's 2 Peter 2:1-3, right? It says that this is now, I'm sorry. Did I say 2 Peter? 2, I'm sorry. I went to the wrong one here. 2 Peter 2:1-2, okay? But it says, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who secretly do what? Introduce destructive what? Heresies. All right. Now, the word heresies means a person's choice. This is where they take the scripture and they change the scriptures. Okay. And we can look in the times right now that we're living that there are many false teachers on television. There are many false teachers. There are people popping up with churches everywhere. Little corner stores turn into little nightclubs. They turn into church. And, you know, everybody's coming and singing and dancing and all this kind of stuff. But there's no preaching going on. All right. So one of the signs that we're in the last days is that these money hungry teachers will be out here, and false prophets will be out here teaching their own opinions. That's what that word heresy means. It means their own opinions. Amen. They're preaching things that they choose to teach. So all they teach is about money, and all they want is your money. You saw in the video where the man said, Satan gave me this message, all right? So they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them. See that? Now, remember this. Whenever a person denies Christ, you can always tell a false teacher, because a false teacher will always talk about themselves. False teacher is more interested in himself or herself than God. Amen. Amen. And they will always deny the master. All right. So look what it says next. It says bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Look what it says. Many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be what? Maligned. So in other words, so a false teacher not only introduces a different type of teaching. So here's how you know a false teaching. When you're hearing something here at your church, and then all of a sudden you go to another church, and then they are teaching something totally opposite of what you learn. Amen. And it just doesn't sit right. They introduce new doctrines denying God. Amen. And watch this. Bringing destruction upon their own self. But it says many, verse 2, in the last days will follow their what? Now, I don't want to keep bringing this up, but why do you think that most Bible teaching churches are becoming very thin on Bible study night, and the church is dwindling down? because they don't want to hear many. Look what it says. Many will what? Follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be what? Maligned. Now that word maligned means to blaspheme. They will be blaspheming. They will become what I would say, or speak profanity about the word of God. Amen. In other words, to hurt the reputation of the true church. So they don't understand what they're doing, these money hungry preachers today. What they're doing is they're hurting the way. Amen. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, and their greed, and in their greed, they will exploit you. With what? What kinds of words? And isn't it amazing how people today, they would rather listen to false words, because false words, preachers that's teaching false words, they're telling you what you want to hear. They're telling you, if you give your $10, if you give your $30, if you give your $1,000 seed, your seed got a name on it, okay? And then we got the church that's trying to preach the truth and can't even get a seed. Can't even get a weed. Can't even get an extra $5 above the tithe. Hello, somebody. Look what it says. It says, and their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not what? Idle. And their destruction is not what? Asleep. Verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserve who?
Noah,
a preacher of what? Righteousness with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So here's the thing, saints. You know, it may look like these other churches, these false prophets are gaining right now. They may look like they're getting ahead. But remember this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? It is hard for a rich man to enter in heaven and for a camel to walk through the eyes of a needle. All right, remember this, okay? It's difficult for rich people to get into heaven, all right? But may I say this to you? Money-hungry preachers, okay, and money-hungry teachers, amen, in due season, like in the days of Noah. See, I'd rather be a preacher of righteousness, amen. I'd rather be a person who stands for righteousness. And because remember, for 120 years, right? This is what's going on, right? Because tonight we're talking about the days of Noah. Noah had been preaching for 120 years. It's going to rain, y'all. Remember, they had not seen rain. And Noah kept saying, listen, man, listen, y'all. It's going to rain. He come up Sunday for a sermon. He said, guess what, y'all? It's going to rain. He's like, man, does he have another sermon? I mean, good Lord. You know what I mean? Why is he preaching the same sermon? Kind of like me. I'm just the third time I'm teaching this again. All right. I mean, you're like, Pastor, do you have anything else to teach? No, I want you to get this because I want you to know what the end times look like so that you and I will not get caught up in the humdrum of life. And we will not just get so caught up in ourselves that we forget that Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, listen to me real good. God is my witness and God's word is true. It is my witness. He's coming back, y'all. He's coming back. And he says he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Listen, the devil can't harm this church because this church has been bought with a price. He says, I will build my church. And listen, in the day that we live in, now remember, look at the days. Remember back in the 60s? Remember back in the 50s or 60s or 70s? Where was people? They would run the church. Bible study would not be empty on a Wednesday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday night. Okay? I mean, Bible's church was always filled with people. But as the times are getting closer, the word tells us that people are more into what Cleflo Dollar is saying. Hello, somebody. They are more in tune of what Leroy Thompson is saying They're more in tune with Bill Wilson is saying, or Watson, or whatever his name is saying. Amen. What is it? Winston. Yeah, Winston. They're more interested in what's the other one? Cleflo Dollar Daddy. What's his name? Copeland. They're more interested in what Copeland is saying. And as a result of that, people are being dragged away. I want it on tape because I want people to know the names. I don't want them to get fooled. Because when you put this CD in somebody's hands, they can understand that, man, I got to stay away from that kind of teaching. Because that kind of teaching, the Bible says, look what the Bible says about that kind of teaching. That says that that kind of teaching is destructive. Because watch this. Watch this. Verse 5. And he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah. Listen, if you stand for what's right, in spite of a world that's falling to destruction and false teaching, God will spare you. Hello, somebody. He will deliver you. He will not, listen, stand for what's right. And when you stand for what's right, God will bring you through just like he brought Noah through. Is it possible to stay righteous in these wicked times? You better believe it. Listen, if you start coming to church and it becomes boring to you, then something is wrong with your heart. Something is going on in the heart. Amen. I love what Aaliyah just testified about. The fact that she's 17 years old and know the plan of salvation and care about her friends enough. You know, all those kids in your school are giving you a hard time, bullying you and all this other stuff. You got to pray for their salvation because they're not saved. You see, and as a result of that, okay, if you lead them to Christ, then they can change. You can't ask a person to change without first addressing the issue of salvation first. But look what it says. It says when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of what? Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to what? Ashes. Having made them an example to those who would live what? Ungodly lives thereafter. So listen, just like I've been saying, let's look at the days of Noah and know that we're living in the days of Noah. God says, I want you to look at Sodom and Gomorrah too. Look what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed it with fire from heaven. But watch this. Lot's wife was running out. And this is why when God pulled you out of destruction, don't look back. And I believe that some of us in our Christian life, we're turning back and we're turning to a pillar of salt and we're remaining the same and we're not changing because we want more of the world than we want truth. See, don't wish that you know what? I don't regret a day of what has happened to me. Even though this journey has been tough, even though this job has been thankless, amen, amen. I'm telling you, even though people treat me bad, amen, guess what? I'm still not going to look back and say, I'd rather have the world, or I'd rather start teaching a different doctrine. See, if I start teaching doctrine on money and money and money and giving and health and wealth and prosperity, and that's all I'm teaching you, then we'll lose focus of the master. But God says, don't you worry, you have an example. So the example that God has given us, two examples he's given us that the end is going to come. Because he said he would destroy the earth. Right? And he did. He said he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because of their wickedness. Now look at today. Wickedness is at an all-time super high. If you think that they were wicked then, they're more open about their wickedness now than they were back in those days. But I think they were just the same because it's the same heart problem that they had, amen, back then. It shows us that if the heart doesn't change, that people will not change. Are you following me? And so he says, this happened to them for what? Their example. I get excited about this stuff. The reason I get so excited about this stuff is because it's like, man, I all may not be good, but all is well in the sense of saying that, you know what? Dark, come here for a minute. Grab all this stuff. Keep falling out my Bible. Grab that. Yeah. And the reason why is because God is speaking from it directly from his word, telling us, you know, you don't want to be the one who is sitting out here saying, I don't even know what's going on. See, may I say this to you? We ought to stop becoming so outdone by evil and keep saying, oh, my gosh, I don't know how they're going to make. I don't know why. I don't know. You know, we're moved by all this evil. No, I'm not moved by evil because I understand the days and I understand that it was an example. God has given us examples in his word to show us, amen, to show us that he's coming back. Look what it says in verse 7. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of what? Unprincipled men. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Listen, Lot. Now, Lot, that's a whole other story. Lot really made the choice to go live among evil people. All right. He progressed and progressed from righteousness. This goes to show you that even a righteous person can get caught up in lawlessness. And even living among lawless people, it tormented him day after day for living among righteous people. But watch this. He accepted it as part of life until God came and rescued him. Look what it says. Then the Lord knows how to rescue. Hello, somebody. The godly. From what? Temptation. And to keep the unrighteous under what? Punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who indulge the flesh and in its corruption, in its corrupt desire, and despise authority, daring, self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring reviling judgments against them before the Lord. But like unreasoning animals born as creatures of instinct to capture and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Verse 13, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a what? Pleasure to revile in the daytime. They are stained and blemishes, reviling in their what? Deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of what? Adultery. They never cease from sin. I'm trying to show you something. Enticing unstable souls. Having a heart trained in what? Accursed to what?
Children.
Forsaking the right way. They have gone astray. Having followed the way of who? Balaam. Now let me tell you about Balaam. How many know the story of Balaam? Balaam was an Old Testament prophet. He was actually Balaam was a money hungry preacher. Balaam was paid by Israel's enemy to go curse Israel. And so Balaam would go curse, and then God would, rather than cause Balaam to curse them, he would bless them and they would multiply. But he was taking money from the enemy. But then finally, when the king says, listen, I paid you all this money, all right, why you keep blessing them? He says, I can't. I try to curse them, but God won't let the words come up my mouth. But let me tell you how you get them. The Bible is deep. It's got all kinds of stuff. Watch this. This is what Balaam told me. He said, but I will tell you how to get them, though. Sexual sin. Adultery. have them to mix with other races, and sexual sins will put them down. And so he gave the king the key to bringing down Israel. He couldn't curse them. He kept on blessing them. But see, the sins of the flesh, amen, can bring you down. Look what it says. It says, Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the what? Wages of what? See that? That's what the money-hungry preachers are doing, right? But he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey speaking with a voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet. See, God used the donkey to talk to him. You see, God can use an ass anytime. He sure can. He can use that. He can use a donkey. Amen. Amen. 17. These are springs without water, and the mist driven by a storm. And watch this. By whom the black darkness have been what? Reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them what? Freedom, while they themselves are slaves to corruption. For by what a man is overcome by, this he's enslaved to. If it's money, and this is the clear sign that we're in the last days. All right? Now, the thing is, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Remember, we talked about that, right? There will be wars and rumors of wars. The next thing is that the moon will be turned blood red. And we saw that, right? Go to Acts chapter 20. But before we go there, real quick, I wanted you to look up Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs 6:16. It's pretty deep stuff. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven. Whew. You ready? This is God's list, hate list. Out of all the billions and trillions of things that God hates, this makes it narrows down to seven things. Number one, hearty eyes. Number one, hearty eyes means pride. Lying lips. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises what? Wicked plans. Y'all got it? Feet that run rapidly to what? A false witness who others what? The one who what? The one who does what? I want you to read it one more time for me because I didn't hear you. What did it say? The one who spreads strife among what? All right. So if you're going around talking about your brother to somebody else, or somebody else is talking about your brother to you, it says God hates it. That's why I tell people, be very, very careful. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Because when you get on God's hate list, uh-oh, you're in trouble. Better call Mako. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the what? Teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your what? Heart. Tie them around your what? See, what I'm trying to, the reason I'm reading this, because I want you to take these teachings. Bind them on your hearts. Continually have them in your heart. Know the signs of the times. Like Aaliyah pointed out to her friends, the signs of the times, you know, it's time out for you to stop blending in and start standing out and start saying to people, the end is getting near. We get so wrapped up in troubles and trials and situations that we forget that there's a bigger picture. Do you know that the Lord may come back in your lifetime? Why do I say that? Because we have the signs. The signs are there. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 22. When you walk about, they will what? Guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you are awake, they will talk to you. The word of God. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is what? Light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. You see that? Reproofs for discipline are the way of life. God will correct you, you know. Go to Acts 2:20 for me. Now, I want to contrast something. I want to show you another. I want to show you in the Old Testament now. I want to show you in the Old Testament how God told the people at that particular time that the end was near for them. In the book of Daniel, God told them in the book of Daniel, God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And in that dream, he dreamt about a statue. We'll read it in a minute, okay? And in the statue had a head of gold, a breastplate of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. Now, Daniel had this dream, and he was like, man, I keep having the same dream over and over again. You know, well, actually, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, but God gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream. But what God was telling Daniel in the dream was that the end was near for their destruction. I'm going somewhere with this. God was telling Daniel, I want you to tell Israel and tell the king that his kingdom is about to fall, okay, and ultimately the Romans are going to come into power. But what God gave Daniel in the dream, what God gave Daniel to interpret with the dream was four different periods of time. So when the king asked Daniel, King says, well, I want you to interpret the dream for me, Daniel. God gave Daniel specifics about what would happen. I'm going somewhere. Catch this. And it came to pass. Just like God did what he did to bring the Romans in power so that they would crucify Christ, it's the same thing that we've been studying, the signs of the times that God has given us through his word, that the end is near. Is that powerful? So if God gave us an illustration in Daniel that the end will be near for them, and it did come to pass, we should take heed to the signs now. For instance, Acts 2:20, the sun will turn into darkness and the moon into what? Blood. Before the great and glorious day of who?
The Lord.
Shall what? And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? May I say this to you? You can't wait until that day comes to be saved. See, this is why we have to get out here, saints. Huh? Wondering what? If they accept.
If you are going through the process and saving somebody and then the rapture comes, will they still go to heaven?
Will they still be saved? See, here's the thing. The thing about that is God, I believe God will make sure that person is who's supposed to be saved. They will be saved. But they got to confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts. All right. But see, we don't want to wait until then. This is why, just like in Daniel's time, Daniel was pre-warning the king. We got to go out here and pre-warn people and tell them, listen, we got to go after lost people. We can't go over people who are in church, okay? We got to go after lost people, people who are not saved. Because, listen, saints, I don't want to see my loved ones go to hell, but we shouldn't want to see anybody go to hell. The question is, do we have a love for lost people? That's a good question. Or we just don't care. We just don't care about people. You know, because they're wicked and they're evil. Yeah, they're wicked and they're evil. The reason why they're wicked and evil is because they are in darkness. And here we have a sign. The other last two weeks ago, we had a sign that the moon turned red. So what does that tell us? The glorious day of the Lord is coming. Amen. Told you last week that the world would embrace homosexuality as a lifestyle. We talked about that. And the future will become frightening. And then the last one I told you, that skeptics, which we just read, motivated by sinful desires, will mock the signs. So there are people out here that's mocking the signs, saying, oh, no, that's just the way it is. So those are the six things that you and I must be on the lookout for, all right? What's the first one? Number two. How come we remember the money-hungry preacher, but we don't remember the second one? What's the second one? Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about that. Yeah, widespread disease, cancer. I mean, AIDS. AIDS or HIV is a result of homosexuality. That's the only way you get that. All right? When you're doing things undecently, okay, unnatural, it's not decent in God's eyes, right? But these worldwide diseases that's spreading, and cancer is number one on the list, right? Or not maybe number one on the list, right? Okay, that people, they have no control over that. So if we see widespread cancer epidemic and we're saying, oh, we can cure it. Yeah, you can cure it, but it's part of the sign, you know? Amen. Huh? Well, yeah, they say get insurance, but still you're going to die. Okay, I mean, that's the bottom line. When we see the epidemics that's coming, okay, and then you see other things spreading, you're like, man, what's going on, you know? That's it. Disease is one of the key things. Because, and I'll tell you why disease is number one too. Because people are living off the king's diet. No, I don't think you hear me. The king's choice food. And because of their lifestyles, Houston is number one in obesity. Number one in the nation. In obesity. We have more sick people, diabetes. We have more sick people, heart disease in Houston, Texas than anywhere in the country. Well, because that's just the epidemic, you see. But actually, what that's telling us, saints, is just another sign of the time. Of course, because homosexuality is embraced as a lifestyle. Okay, and so may I say this to you, that's one of the things that's the one of the punishment and the penalties. Go to Matthew 24:7. And these scriptures are your key scriptures. So when you start talking to someone, we're going into the witnessing workshop next week. Amen. I'm going to teach you how to witness, and I'll show you how to use this. How to use these signs of the times to teach people, that, just like Aaliyah did. It comes naturally, you know, and you teach the people that you know, or present to them unsaved people, that listen, the end is near. Now, you may not want to acknowledge it, but I said last week, you know, if you die today, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, where are you? Are you in heaven or are you in hell? Now, if a person says, I'll be in hell, then you have to know how to lead them to Christ. Amen? Look what it says, for nation will rise against nation. How many wars are going on right now that we don't really know about? Everywhere. Kingdom against kingdom. In various places, there will be what? Famines and what? Earthquakes. How many earthquakes? Look what just happened last night. Exactly. The tornado that came through, the earthquakes, the famines. You follow what I'm saying? These are the signs, y'all. It has never been this bad. I mean, just all of a sudden, I saw the alert on my phone. I'm like, man, I know it's hurricane season, but man, it had died down. But think about earlier this year, all the floodings, and these are just the earth is these are the birth pangs of the earth. God's saying, hey, y'all, my people, please hear my voice. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming for you. Yeah, it's tough right now. Yeah, it's rough right now. But just keep holding on. I'll be back for you. I love that. It says, but all these things are merely the beginning of what? Birth pangs. Then they will deliver you. Here's another sign of the times. They will deliver you to tribulation and will what? Oh, yeah. Listen, let me say this to you. The Muslims, they're just waiting their turn before they rise up and persecute Christians. They're doing it now in Iraq and all these other places. They're in Africa and places like that. The Muslims are raising up and they're killing Christians. There are Christians on the battlefield right now that are dying because they're Christians. We may not experience it right now. We may not see that part of it, but there are people out here dying for the cause. Let me say this. John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English, he died. They cut his throat and killed him, and then put him on the stake and burnt him for translating the Bible into English. It's been going on a long time. You see, you may be killed, but you may be killed in different ways. The devil may try to shut you up and turn your heart from God. Turn your heart from your church. You know, the problem today is we have too many choices. That's what the problem is today. And then people are being, they don't want sound biblical teaching. They want teaching that will advance them. Greed. This type of stuff is boring to people. It's exciting to me. Hello. Look what he says. He says, and you will be hated by all nations. How many nations hate America right now? How many? Because we are somewhat of a Christian nation. Somewhat. How many nations hate us? Because of his name. So if they hate nations because of his name, what do you think they're going to do to the church? How many think the devil, think the devil wants his church to succeed? He doesn't. He knows that there are more souls to be saved. But listen, Bible study is where we should bring our friends and neighbors and relatives. Now we're moving into fantastic days this month, next month, but I'm asking all of you to bring your friends to church. The whole month of May, we're asking everybody to bring a friend. Bring a friend. Amen. The next month, we're going to bring relatives. The next month, we're going to bring associates. The next, we're going to bring a neighbor. You know, I'm going to try to get my neighbors here because they live right around the corner. Amen. We got to be excited about it. But see, now that I know what I know about the end, that gives me an urgency, okay, with my message. Do I have anybody? Look what it says here in verse 10. It says, now notice what it says. You'll be hated because of my name. See, the hatred that comes upon you from people, amen, they're not hating you. They're hating you because you are associated with Jesus Christ. Amen. Look what it says. At this time, many will fall away. See that happening. When the going gets rough, when things get tough, when life gets a little rough, people fall away from God because, watch this, because they were looking for something, they didn't get what they were looking for. Their expectation. That's when you find out who they really are. Look what it says. It said, at that time, this is in the end days, many will fall away and will betray one another. Watch this, and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise then. See, that's, and we see that today. When people hate each other, false prophets will rise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow what? Cold. But I like verse 13. But the one who what? The one who what? The word endure means to be patient. To persevere. Pastor, hold on. Hello, somebody. Even when they persecute you. Even when they talk about you. Even when they lie on you. You endure. You hold on. You wait patiently. Because in due season, God will vindicate you. Those who endure to the end will be what? Saved. Listen, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I accept where God has placed me. I accept his will for my life. I accept what he's doing for me. I accept it because I understand that if I endure patiently, that I'll be saved in the end. Because watch this. In the end, I may end up with $1 million mansion and a Bentley and all this other stuff and all this stuff, right? But then I won't be saved. And the rapture comes. Because all the signs are there. The rapture comes and I'm still here in my Bentley. That's good, sister. That's right on time. Mm-hmm. Now, may I say this to you? I don't mind driving a Bentley. But I'm not going to make it my God. Amen. You see, the thing about it is, that's not why I'm doing this. If I was doing this for money, hello, somebody, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'll tell you that. I could find a whole lot of other things to do on a Tuesday night. Amen, than be in church. But that's for the unsaved. See, I'm saved. Hello, somebody. And because I'm saved, I don't mind being here. This is heaven to me. This is where I get my safety. I find safety at the church. Amen. I feel the lightness of this church tonight. I really do. I feel the presence of God in this place. He's here tonight, y'all. He's telling us something. He says, children, pay attention to what's happening. Look what he says. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world. See, we haven't done anything. We haven't even started as a church to be missionaries and to send out missionaries and to go out and witness to the world. We haven't even done that yet. Listen, he says, in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So until the whole world is evangelized and they hear the gospel, the end will not come. Look at verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through, there you go. Now we're getting into what we're talking about. The abomination of desolation, which was spoken through what? Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever's in the housetop must go down to get the things out of their what? That are in there, his house. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are what?
Nursing
babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or a Sabbath. For then there will be great. This is what Daniel said, the abomination. But watch this. We won't be here for this. Watch this. The great tribulation such as not has not occurred since the what? Read it. Beginning of the world until what?
Now.
Nor ever witness. This is it. Listen, when we do you understand that when you die it's permanent? Do you know that you only have one life? That's why I'm preaching the God of the underdogs. You have one life to live. Make it count for something. Don't let it be all about you. Let it count that, God, I gave you my whole life. I gave you everything, God. God, I gave you my time. I've led people to Christ. I've won souls to the kingdom.
Amen.
Look what he says. He says, this tribulation, such as never has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now. No, and you know what you say was since the beginning, right? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about Noah. He's talking about that was the great tribulation that happened in Noah's time when God wiped everybody out. Look at this. Verse 22. Unless those days have been cut short, no life will be saved. You see that? But for the sake of the elect. You know what the elect means? Those who have been chosen for salvation. Listen, this is why we got to go witness. Because God is saying there are people at the gas station. There's people at the grocery store. There's people at the mall who have not given their life to Christ yet. They're elected for salvation. Listen, if you would have told me I was elected, I would have said you're a liar. You see what I'm saying? But because of circumstances, situations, and then the presentation of the gospel to me, that's how I got saved. But I was elected from my mother's womb. But listen, remember what I said. The greatest sin of the believer is the greatest sin that you could commit as a believer is to be silent. So God told me, he gave me the mandate 3 weeks ago, equip my people to share the good news. And when you equip them to share the good news, now they're responsible, but I will give them the unction and they don't have to do anything. Just like it happened naturally with Aaliyah. You don't have to go about asking people. Listen, God will lead those elect people to you. And when you open your mouth to share the gospel with them, either they're going to accept at that very moment or they're going to reject. Now, if they reject, amen, then the Bible says, shake the dust off your feet. Get your emotions out of this. They don't want to come to church. You've been calling them. Listen, move on. Shake the dust off because woe is them. But you say, Pastor, I want them to believe. The question is, are they elected? And maybe they're not ready to believe at that very moment, but maybe somebody else, you plant a seed. That's what I told Leah today when she was saying to me, Daddy, I almost led them to Christ. I said, I tell you what, the seed is planted. So we're praying tonight that we're going to put some prayer on that seed, that seed will start taking root in their lives, and then all of a sudden it's going to spring up into salvation. See, we have to come with a message, and it's a simple message. God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. Man is sinful and separated from God. Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get to God. You have to believe that Christ died, was buried, rose again from the dead for your sins. And if you believe that message today, you with your mouth and make the confession, you shall be saved today. That's your message. Just like Noah, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And then you bring them to church and you teach them how to live as a believer. Notice what I says. You bring them to church. Now, may I say this to you? I believe that God is going to say to us as a church, why didn't you witness if you knew the signs? Your pastor taught you the signs. And next week we're going into the workshop. Next week we're doing a witnessing workshop. And I'm going to teach you how to witness. And we're going to role play. And we're going to learn how to witness. Amen. We're going to learn how to share the good news. And listen, you may not be an evangelist because we're setting up a SWAT team, soul winners action team. You may not be on that team, but listen, we're setting up a team of people that's going to be their primary focus is going out and winning souls. Unless this church starts winning souls, these chairs will always be empty. And we can wish and hope and wish and hope and wish and hope and wish and hope that it fills up and pray and wish and hope and pray. But unless we go win souls, saints, I don't see any other way of getting it filled. We're not on a pretty block with a nice edifice. I mean, we have a pretty nice building, but you know what I'm saying? You know, where people are just driving by, stopping off. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
What you said, elect. How do you know you're elected?
You don't.
Okay.
You don't know who's elect. That's the beauty of it. Dwight Pentecost said that if God was to put a sign on everybody's back who was elected, we would just witness to them. But because we don't know who's elected, we got to witness to everybody. And it's usually the person that you think, they ain't. They're the ones.